Again, thank you for joining us yesterday at the prayer day. So today we are continuing in this spirit of prayer. And we hope to look at prayer makes a difference. On 13th January 2018, the Times reported that the tales that God is dead to modern Britons have been drawn into question by a new survey. According to Comrades Pool of 2,069 people, 51% of the country's adults still prays. Of those, 20% do not class themselves as religious. 55% of those who pray will do so in a crisis. And 71% pray for their families. Interesting, many pray on the go now, 12% while exercising, while in the gym, then 20% while cooking, and 39% of people pool believe that prayer can be world-changing. Is that not uplifting? For me, I thought that this survey, even though other critics will think that it is simply an attempt to present a picture of Britain that is not in existence. But I suppose that this survey perhaps could help us gain an insight into the wider realities of our community. So prayer makes a difference. I will invite you, if you are able, to try the website of Try Praying. If you try praying, if you type in Try Praying, and you'll find lots of testimonies of people. There are video recordings there, so many of them, about testimonies by members of communities who are testifying to the power and effect of prayers in their lives. Those whose prayer has helped in their journey of recovering from ill health, those that believe that prayer has really been effectual in their process of making sense of bereavement. There are so many testimonies today about the power and effect of prayer. As read in Luke chapter 18, verse 9 to 14, prayer is far more than an action or quantity of words. It is an attitude of the mind, a mind that relies on God. In this parable, the Pharisee prayed often, as we read, but obviously in this prayer, he seemed to have lacked humility. God valued the prayer of the tax collector because it was offered in humility and reliance upon the grace of God. The Pharisee was making an appeal to his own self-righteousness. I am this, I am this, I am this, I am that. We cannot take away the things he said about himself. But what is important here, I suppose, is the attitude of the mind. Prayer invites us to this absolute reliance on God. Prayer is a Christian responsibility, but it is much more than a duty. It is not just a duty. It should be enjoyed. It is something we should enjoy. It should be a genuine expression of love for God, and it should also be done for others, not just for ourselves, as we showed with the five fingers. Paul, in his letter to the Ephesians, spend most of the time highlighting spiritual principles which will guide our Christian life and also our life as congregations. And as he comes to the end of his letter, his attention is drawn to prayer for others. He invites the Ephesians and, of course, us today to pray for one another. Paul tells us to be watchful to this end with all perseverance and supplications for all the saints. Now, I want us to note the emphasis. The emphasis is for all the saints. Not just one, not few, not many, but for all the saints. All the saints, not just those who are within our neighborhood, but for all the saints. Because we realize, and of course with media today, we have news around the world in our fingertips. We know that there are different parts of the world today where people cannot sit calmly as we are sitting to worship. Where people worship in hiding. And with stories from Mozambique, from Malawi, in the last few days, and even from New Zealand, you know that we have a lot to be thankful for, that we can come in and worship in safety. And so we offer prayers for all the saints in every part of the world. So Paul says, for all the saints. It is often so easy to get wrapped up in our difficulties and our trials, and we forget to pray. Now, we need to remind ourselves that we are not as alone as we feel. We are always surrounded by God's loving presence and the company of our brothers and sisters. So no matter what you are going through in your life, you are never alone. I've shared this with us here, that growing up, my dad had something in our living room with this inscription. I was crying, I had no shoes, until I saw someone without legs. And he says, don't think that your problems are worse than those of other people. There are always people in the world, in our neighborhood, who might be worse off. And so sometimes we get wrapped up in our own difficulties, and we are unable to see beyond and maybe to see God's goodness in our lives. And that is why in Hebrews chapter 10, verse 27, the writer says, do not neglect the gathering of the saints. Sometimes in response to our difficulties, people tend to stay away from the company of others, from the company of brothers and sisters. And often the enemy will want us to think that Christianity is exclusively private. And so we privatize religion. It's about me, it's about us. But you know, we need one another. We need the accompaniment. We need the humility, not only to give out, but also receive. Sometimes it is so easy for us to give to others. And often we find it difficult to receive the accompaniment of others. And that is really where the challenge lies. If we allow the enemy to influence us to the point of thinking that we don't need others, we can privatize our religion or Christianity and stay on our own. In one way, we might sit alone feeling sorry for ourselves, imagining that we have the most difficult of times than others. The prayers of God's people have always made a difference. Daniel prayed before and during the time he was thrown into the lion's den. He prayed and was thrown inside the lion's den, and he was still praying there. God delivered him. The three Hebrew men, in fact, I was sharing this story yesterday about going for a conference in Edinburgh on Thursday, and the moderator was showing off pictures she had collected from India. And there was this picture of triplets, three boys. And I guess their names, Shadrach, Meshach, and Abednego, the names of the three boys. So these three Hebrew boys, men, were thrown inside the fire. They prayed, and God delivered them. In fact, I mentioned last Sunday, and I will read it from Scripture, Daniel chapter 3, that while they were in the furnace, there was a fourth man that was there. And the king said, did we not throw in three men inside this fire? But now I can see the fourth man, and the fourth man looks like the Son of God. And that is always the difference, that even though we pass through the valleys of the shadow of death, we'll fear no evil. Why? Because God is with us. Indeed, prayer for one another does work. The Apostle James writes in James chapter 5, verse 16 to 18, confess your trespasses to one another and pray for one another that you may be healed. The effective, fervent prayer of the righteous man avails much. Elijah was a man with a nature like ours, and he prayed earnestly, and it will not rain. And he goes on and on. God works through weak human instruments to show himself powerful. Sometimes God allowed Elijah, if you read the story, to be fearful and sometimes even faithless, so that he will show his power and his glory through him. Paul also says to us, regarding the tongue that was on his flesh, that God answered him consistently, "My grace is sufficient unto you." God heals. We believe in God's miracle. We believe in God's healing. God says, "My grace is sufficient for you, for my strength is made perfect in weakness." Paul and Elijah were men with physical strength and human nature. While their physical strength often failed them, they were always held in the hands of God. And so are we today. Our strength might fail us, but we are always held in the hands of our great God. We have to realize that the battle we are involved in ultimately is not ours, but God's battle. In 2 Chronicles chapter 20, verse 15, God spoke to Jehoshaphat and said, "Listen, King Jehoshaphat, and all who live in Judah and Jerusalem, this is what the Lord says to you. Do not be afraid or discouraged because of this vast army, for the battle is not yours, but God's." In prayer, we yield ourselves to God. We acknowledge our vulnerability, and we accept the all-powerfulness of God. Prayer does make a difference. A common question that people ask today is, if God knows everything, what is the point of praying? But it is God himself who commands us, who invites us to pray. In 2 Corinthians chapter 1, verse 8 to 11, Apostle Paul laid a lot of emphasis on the prayer of the brethren and felt that it was a major source of strength and help to him in his suffering. God could do it all alone without us, but he has chosen to do it in us and through us, which is actually a privilege. I often say that prayer is an invitation to join in heavenly conversation. In Ephesians chapter 6, as was read from verse 18 to 20, Paul invites the Ephesians to pray for him too. The greater the Christian, the more he realizes his dependence on the prayer of others. Here, Paul, an apostle of God, a spiritual giant of the Christian community, is asking these people to pray for him. So no matter how great a person is, the person like each of us still has moments of weaknesses. Paul specifically asks that I may open my mouth boldly. By boldly, Paul means freely, frankly, and nothing to be kept back. He wanted to be able to speak about the gospel comprehensively without shrinking back or watering it down. And let me ask, congregation, in case you have nothing to pray for, can I ask you to pray for me? Can I ask you in your prayers, as you take your lunch, as you take your breakfast, to pray for Elijah? We live in an age where sounding politically correct is the norm. We are so afraid of offending people that we tend to hold back the truth. Paul encourages us to pray for all the saints and for all ministers, that they may declare the gospel boldly as they ought to speak. Prayer does make a difference. The effective, fervent prayer for others as recorded in James chapter 5, verse 16, is not a wasted effort. So, people of God, today we are encouraged to pray. We are urged to be persistent. We are invited to persevere in prayer for all saints. Prayer makes a difference. It's often said that a praying believer is a winning believer. Yes, it is good to plan. It is good to have a program of events. It is good and excellent to organize. But we need to be people of prayer, people who treasure this privilege we have to be part of what God is doing. We may not be able to get to Mozambique or get to New Zealand, get to Sudan. I told the children to find Scotland or find New Zealand. They could not. It was difficult to find it on the map. But through our prayers, we can reach out to friends, we can reach out to families, we can reach out to people in faraway places. It is our business to pray. It is God's business to answer. And He knows how best to answer. It is our business to pray for the sick. I was in Crawford Dyke over the week on Friday, and the children were asking me of miracles I've seen through my ministry, and I was sharing some with them. You know, it is our business to pray for the sick, to pray for those who are passing through hard times, those we know and those we do not know. Now, it is up to God to know how best to do it. For some who are ill, God could heal them instantly. For some, God could give them peace. And you know that we need inner peace. The peace of God that passes all human understanding is so powerful, is so great. Let us be a people of prayer, people who treasure this wonderful gift of standing in the gap for others. Amen.